Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hour number three of the Rob Brown Radio Program starts right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And it's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown and the great one, Lonzo, with you on a lovely, what a day, Upstate Friday AM. It is beautiful outside. It's beautiful in Augusta, Georgia, where the boys are knocking the golf ball around at Augusta National Golf Course. The resumption of the end of round number one currently taking place. The 27 golfers who did not get to finish their opening round are on the course right now. And we will update you on the leaderboard as the leaderboard updates for the remainder of the morning that we are on the air.
That's an interesting sweater vest.
Jason Day is wearing a very, I don't know how to describe it. It says Melbourne Golf Championship or club or something across. But it's like jersey lettering, but it's like wrapped around the entire front of the sweater.
It looks like something Wham wore back in the day.
It should say Frankie
letter.
Says relax
yeah.
on it.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting look. Jordan Spieth gets a birdie, cuts himself back down to +2, a little closer to the cut line at the end of the day. We'll see how that finishes up. Got Hodges off the tee right now on the par 4 first. He is 2 over. The second round, early groups will be going out at 10 a.m. That should give enough time for the late round groups from yesterday to finish up their 18, head back to the clubhouse. Eldrick Tiger Woods is currently lining up a long birdie putt. Nope, this is a par putt. That's not great. Unless he sinks this one. This is on the par 4 14th, his first hole of the day. He needs to sink this one to stay at -1. I think he's probably okay on the cut
Noonan.
Line at even.
Noonan
leaves that one just about 4 inches shy, so he will bogey out 14, his first hole of the second half of the first day. That'll move him back to even. And again, I still think even's good enough to make the cut right now, but we do have day two coming up. Now, day two, gonna have lower scores than day one. Yesterday, the fellas got out there after the rainstorms overnight on Wednesday night. The course was damp. The greens were slow. They may still be slow, even with the drying system. That putt from Tiger is not a putt he ordinarily leaves short. So it still may be a damp course, and that may actually hurt the afternoon guys and help the early guys, although it did not help Tiger right there. We will again update you on this leaderboard as it progresses during the end of round one to open the day in the beginning of round two, coming up here in just a couple of hours. Texture says, do we really think Tiger can survive 23 holes today? I don't know. He's got to play 5 in the morning. I assume that is probably going to take him somewhere in the neighborhood of an hour, maybe an hour and a half top end. And then he will have, let's say, that puts him in the clubhouse about 9:45, 10 o'clock. And then he's got till 3:45 before he goes back out. So he's going to have about a 5-hour turnaround. I don't know how Tiger handles that. Does he go to the range for 5 hours? just swing the pitching wedge to stay loose.
Are you serious? Would you go for 5 hours to the range?
I don't know. I think it may, first off, it may depend on how he plays the back half of this round. If he goes out here and he stinks it up in the morning, it might be a reset button. If he bogeys the first hole, but then he goes and gets 2-3 birdies in the back four, he may just want to keep that swing motion loose. Just keep the body loose. Just go out there. I mean, I'm not going to say you swing the golf club 2,000 times, but it might not hurt you to get out there, take the 8-iron out of the bag, and just hit some golf balls. Stay loose. I don't know. And this is one of the unique challenges for the guys that did not finish yesterday, is if you are sitting on a four, a five-hour window between finishing 18 and then starting back up for another 18, how do you handle that? And it's going to be different for a guy like Max Homa, a guy like Brooks Koepka, versus a guy like Tiger. We know Tiger's physical limitations, the back, the ankle, the leg. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what the best way for him to stay loose is. I don't know if it's to go grab a hot dog and a beer. I don't know if it's to go back to the hotel room and catch 2-3 hours worth of Z's. I don't know if it's to stay on the range literally the whole time. I don't know if it's to walk 18 between 18s. I don't know what the right answer is. What I do know is I selfishly hope he figures out what the right way is. I hope he knows his body well enough to know, all right, I need to do this for the ankle or that for the lower back or whatever. I hope he's got it. We'll find out. Texas said, I'm rooting for him. But yeah, I'm seriously questioning today. His best bet would be to not finish second round today either. I don't disagree. The problem is this tournament is finishing Sunday. They will play until dying light. They played until dark last night. They played until about 7:12 when the horn went off last night. It was dark. I was on the air with or getting ready to go on the air with Trista Ryan and Nick, and they were talking about it. They were like, oh, it didn't look like it was that dark. Yeah, that's what cameras are made for. Cameras are made, the you know when you look at a camera, when somebody takes a picture, and it's got that little pinhole in the front, and that it shuts, that's called aperture. And you can open up that hole to allow in more or less light. And so at night when it is dark outside, they open that aperture up to gather as much light as they can, which is why they can be outside in sundown scenario but make it on TV look like it's bright as day. They played till dark last night. And I agree with you. The best thing that could happen for Tiger Woods here would be if he plays 13, 14 holes today, plays effectively 18 holes, and has the opportunity to rest, come out, do the same thing tomorrow. I think. It may be better just to play 18 straight, because here's the thing. Tiger went one under yesterday. He comes out and he gives that stroke back on the very first hole he plays today. He might not be the same guy. The problem you're going to bump into, if that's what happens, is this tournament's finishing on Sunday. And if Tiger is a Sunday golfer, if he gets to rock the red today or this weekend, if Tiger's a Sunday golfer, there's going to be a day, be it tomorrow, Saturday, today, tomorrow, or Sunday, there's going to be a day he's going to have to play 23.
So if he, even with the early round people, who have to finish their round today, if they play badly, they have to turn around and play quicker, right? Because it's the higher scores go first and then the lower scores play later, right?
Yes. So it would.
So if he comes out and has a bad rest of the time,
it's going to suck for him
then
tomorrow.
The turnaround time is going to be a lot quicker. No, wouldn't he have to go back on a lot quicker today?
No. Today's tee times are set.
Okay.
Today's tee times are set. Tiger's tee time is 3:54 p.m.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So today's tee times are set. Tomorrow's tee times are not. Tomorrow's tee times will be determined by scores. Groupings will be determined by score.
All right.
So what could happen is Tiger ends up, theoretically, assuming he finishes all 18 of his afternoon round. If he finishes all 18, but let's say he finishes at 2 over, and 2 over is the cut line, then he would possibly have the early tee time, unless he does not finish 18 today, in which case they would have him come out tomorrow morning, start, then they still have to determine the cut line, right? So there's a chance he's got to come out tomorrow, play 4 holes, and miss the cut, and he's done. Or he comes out tomorrow in which case, regardless of scores, he will play a later afternoon round again tomorrow. So that is part of one. That is one of the reasons that I think it would. At least that's my understanding of how it would work. That is part of the reason for me. Even if he plays 17 today and he can't get 18 in because they blow the horn and it's just too dark. Even if he plays 17 and he's got to come out tomorrow, that would make tomorrow's afternoon tee time later for Tiger. Not quite as late because it's a smaller field with the cut line being today. But it would make him, it would give him the latest opportunity for a cut start tomorrow and kind of space that out. But like I said, whether it's today or tomorrow or Sunday, there will be a day that Tiger's going to have to play more than 18 in a day. That's just the unluck of the draw of having a late tee time yesterday.
From what we've seen so far, ain't nobody putting this morning. Everybody's
Putts are struggling today. And again, the texture and the pacing of a green at Augusta, it can change hour by hour. Not just day by day. When it starts to warm up, when the sunlight starts to fall on different parts of the green, you can have not even just the green changing, you can have parts of the green changing. If there is a big shadow across the green, the part that's in the shadow will play slower than the part that's in the sun. And you may not just have to gauge speed, you may have to gauge speed twice. All right, it's going to go this speed when I'm putting through the shadow, but it's going to pick up speed when it gets to the sun or vice versa. So when these guys are out here this morning, they played yesterday on greens that while they do have the air dryer tech, basically, and I learned this yesterday, the way it works is they basically have a...
Look behind them. Did you see the wind?
I did not.
Yeah, the wind.
Oh, it's still windy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically underneath the green, there's like a little, I don't know what to call it, cavern. It's like a little layer of air, and they hook these big hot air blowers into tubes that then blow super hot air up under the soil and the grass. And that takes the water out. But it's obviously not a rapid process. It's not like a jet dryer at a NASCAR track where they hit it with 1,000 degree air at 800 miles an hour. They just pump hot air under the green. So yesterday, the guys who went out in the morning rounds, when it had just stopped raining a couple of hours ago, the greens were dramatically different from the guys who played later in the afternoon, which means that the guys that are going out this morning are playing on totally different greens than they put it on yesterday, which makes sense that the putts are going to be tough to come by. This is a disadvantage of not having finished yesterday. You're going to be putting on greens that are dramatically different than the greens that you put it on 12 hours ago, basically, or 16 hours ago. You're going to have to play a different game with the putter today. You're going to have to read differently. You're going to have to experiment with the greens a little bit today in a way you didn't have to do yesterday. By the way, if you are Jason Day, if you are Max Homa, you're playing with Tiger. Tiger just got on the box and outdrove Max Homa by about 6 yards. Yeah, you know that broken guy? That guy, that bionic man, Tiger, that washed up old grandpa who needs to get the hell off the course? He just outdrove Max Homa by 6 yards.
Yeah, but if you're those guys, you saw how he's putting and you're all right.
They're putting that way too. He is picking up 6 yards on him off the tee.
Yeah, Happy Gilmore could drive it a long way too until he learned how to putt.
You know Happy Gilmore was fake, right? I had to hit it off of Frankenstein's fat foot. I missed that movie. Happy Gilmore movie sequel in the works from what I understand.
It is, but it's going straight to Netflix.
Happy which and Shooter not, on the senior tour.
Which is not entirely a bad thing.
No, Netflix has done some decent stuff. I did finally watch Red Notice. With Ryan Reynolds, The Rock, and Gal Gadot.
I haven't seen it, but that was like 4 years ago or something.
Was that long ago?
Probably longer than that.
We finally watched it. It's all right. Wasn't bad. Ryan Reynolds is Ryan Reynolds. The Rock is The Rock. And Gal Gadot is hot. That's pretty much the movie. It's not bad. All right, we'll keep you up to date on the Masters again as the leaderboard progresses this AM. Tiger Woods did indeed give a stroke back on 15, 14. First hole he had to play today. He got through 13 yesterday, gave a stroke back on 14. That brings him back to even. Again, I think even probably makes the cut because I think the scores are going to be lower today, but I think he's going to have to fight to stay around even. Bryson DeChambeau, your clubhouse leader at 7-under. He goes off at 11:54 this morning. Scottie Scheffler is a shot behind. He goes out at 1:48. Nikolaj Højgaard of Denmark is 5-under. He is on the first right now. He is sitting in third as it stands. So that's where we're at with the Masters. We will keep you up to date again with that scoreboard as it develops. Let's do this. Let's run to a break. When we come back here in just a moment from right now, we will talk NBA playoffs, NBA play-in. Had a couple of games last night, games that were important, games that mattered. The Sacramento Kings, the LA Lakers, the Golden State Warriors are all now locked into the play-in. New Orleans and Phoenix are a half game apart with one to play. One of those teams is going play-in. One of those teams are going playoff, and it is up to the Pelicans whether they go into the play-in or the playoff. We will talk about that. We'll take a look over on the side of the Eastern Conference as well at the remaining schedule and who could end up where and what matchups we might get, which ones we want to get. Plus, we talked earlier about the fact that Americans love superstars, not super teams. And I use Caitlin Clark as my example. I'm going to give you another example coming up in a little while. It's Caitlin Clark again, but in a different way this time. That's all coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Is this a new track?
Nah.
I don't think I've heard this one. This is bold.
Maybe in my rotation, sometimes I accidentally skip it. So
this needs to be on the list. This is good.
This is another one that makes me think of MMA because it sounds like something that would be on UFC.
This is wrestling walkout music.
Yeah,
100%. Speaking of UFC, UFC 300, real, real good card. I was going to say quantity over quality card. Instead of having like one elite fight, you're getting a pretty good list of good fights. I'm in. This is probably going to be the first card in a while that I'm like, nah, stay at home Saturday. It's too good. And if I go out, it's going out to watch this card. Real good card. All right. Let's talk NBA here for just a moment, shall we? Last night we had a handful of games that had impact on the playoffs. We had Sacramento and New Orleans yesterday evening. The Pellies go on the road 27-14 away from the blender this year. They win 135-123.
Zion, all right? You doing okay?
He got hurt. He got a wrist injury. And then he came back out and finished the game with authority. He and CJ McCollum.
So he recovered from the finger and now he's got a wrist.
Well, I'm assuming he was compensating. Okay. But he did go 31-13-21 from the floor, ended up 5-5 from the stripe, 4 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block. pretty good night. CJ, 11 of 18, 9 of 12 from the arc for 31. And my dog, Trey Murphy III, capped off the night with 27 on 7 of 14 and 6 of 12 from behind the arc. The Pellies shot 55% from three last night. The boys can ball, baby. They can ball. I love it. Got Sacramento. Domantas Sabonis, 18 points, 22 for Harrison Barnes. DeAndre Fox is a dude. An absolute dude. By the way, that's a five-game set against the Sacramento Kings. The Pellies sweep the season series. Get the probes! You love to see that. All right, so where does that leave us right now? Because we had some games the last two nights that mattered. As it stands in the Eastern Conference, we know the Celtics are going to end up with the one seed. They locked that up weeks ago, so they have kind of taken, I'm not even going to say taken some time off. They have lost at the Garden this year, four games at home. They've dropped L's. We talked about during bracket fill-in time. By the way, our bracket championship winners, we should probably talk about that. I was saving it till the great one got back. Should probably talk about who won our bracket contest coming up in a little while. We'll do that. Actually, you know what? We might end the hour with that.
Good, because I'm glad it didn't just disappear.
Of course not.
Yeah, I just, I want to know who won.
You're going to find out coming up next. But we talked about during our bracket selection process that when you pick sports, there is a art to not overthinking, but also not underthinking. Underthinking is just picking chalk. Overthinking is when you start getting way too deep into the weeds in terms of coming up with stuff. Am I underthinking or overthinking that the Boston Celtics are going to win the Eastern Division title this year? I don't think I am. It's the best team in basketball. They're a 62-win team. They dropped 18 so far. They've lost four games at home on the whole damn season. And every playoff series in the East is going to be hosted by the Beantown Celtics at Basting Gaddon. Am I over or under thinking that the C's are going to win the East? Because I look down the rest. There's Milwaukee. Dame is going to have to carry this team for a little while by himself. Giannis got shut down for the last three games of the regular season. The injury that he sustained, which is a strained soleus, that is a muscle that runs up the back of your calf. He has a strained soleus, and from what I understand, this is an injury that if it is the lowest grade soleus strain, is an injury that requires around 16 days to fully recover from. Now, there's good news if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. The good news is that you are going to get the winner of a play-in game, and likely you're going to end up with either the 76ers or the Miami Heat. Most likely the 76ers. That's the bad news.
This sounds like a made-up injury, doesn't it? I've never heard of that until now. It's like something, sorry, boss. The doc said my soleus is messed up. It's doc speak. I don't know how to say it, but I can't come to work. I'm sorry.
Soleus sounds like a car. The all-new Ford Soleus. 16 days is around the average time of recovery for the lowest grade soleus strain. So if indeed Giannis does have a flat tire, hey-o. If Giannis does indeed have a flat tire, why are we showing Tiger in slow motion? Please tell me it's because it's a beautiful swing and not because he comes up going, yeah. I can't tell.
Oh, no, it's where the ball went.
Where'd it go? Water? It rough? Just, gross?
It just went on over.
Well, if he's, I mean, if he's shooting over on a hole that has a front hazard that's wet, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but it looked like it went over the hill and into a bunker. I just glanced and saw.
I would rather it end up in sand than water. Welcome to Augusta. So, the Bucks are likely going to get, I think.
Are you going to put, would you put money on the Celtics to win the East?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I mean, they've been dominant record-wise. Why wouldn't you do that?
Not only have they been dominant record-wise, but nobody has been able to go into Boston and win. In fact, one of those losses, one of their four home losses, was to the Knicks the other day, well after Boston had locked up home court advantage freaking weeks ago, right? The Celtics right now, depending on what book you look at, BetMGM, they're minus 185. Get them on ESPN, bet at minus 175. You get them at, your best bet right now is DraftKings. You can get them at minus 110. They are a betting odds favorite to win the Eastern Division. And here's why. The Bucks have a banged up Giannis Antetokounmpo right now they got to deal with. I don't know that Dame can do it by himself. I think you've got to be able to run a two-man game if you want to get by Boston, especially in Boston. The Knicks don't have their big man Julius Randle. And the Cavs, Magic, and Pacers just aren't good enough. There is one team that I am willing to take a flyer on right now. There is one team I might sprinkle a little something-something on to get it done. They are now the third shortest odds on the board to win the East, despite the fact that they're a play-in team. The Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid, come get in the hole. Oh, that'd have been real nice. Joel Embiid comes back from injury. Old grandpa can't play. Kenny Lonzo. Kenny. Tiger up here missing by a quarter inch from
like,
the rough.
Most players this morning seems to not be able to hit stuff like that. But, you know.
I'll tell you what.
Old Tiger would put enough spin in that to just
That's a chip. You can't put that much spin on that shot. That's not a shot you can really control like that. That's a shot you just got to get close and hope you get the right speed. That's a wonderful golf shot. That's a spectacular golf shot. That's a golf shot 90% of us can't hit. Joel Embiid comes back for the 76ers from his injury he suffered weeks ago. I thought, all right, ring rust, right? Going to take Joel a little while to get back up to speed. Going to take him a little while to get his stamina back up to playing 35 minutes a night. And all Joel Embiid is doing right now is putting up 38-11-8 score lines. It's ridiculous. Joel Embiid, as much as I think Nikola Jokic was the MVP last year and got jobbed because he is a boring player, if you don't like big man bully ball basketball, Joel Embiid's still really damn good. And he came back and it took him like 1.5 games to knock the ring rust off and be ready to go. Philly is going to probably, I think, catch Milwaukee in the second round as the second of the two play-in teams. Well, the first play-in team that'll make it to the playoffs, higher-seeded playoff team, make it into the tournament. They are a full game up on Miami, and I don't think they're getting past. The Cavs, Magic, and Pacers aren't good enough. Eric Spoelstra in the Heat are a wild card. Because Espo always seems to do something in the playoffs, and we have all gotten very accustomed to the legend of playoff Jimmy Buckets. We talk about Jimmy Buckets 2 times a year. We talk him when he shows up looking like Fallout Boy for his media shoot, and we talk about him in the playoffs when he goes out there and starts doing playoff Jimmy stuff, putting his team on his back, scoring 45 every single game, and stealing games away from teams. Unfortunately, the rest of the Heat aren't as good as they usually are going into this, and I don't think that even playoff Jimmy Buckets is going to beat Boston, and that's who they're going to catch after the play-in tournament. I don't see it. I think you're going to have the Heat go in as the lowest play-in seed. The Sixers is the highest. The Sixers are going to get the Bucks. I could see the Heat beating the Bucks. I can't see the Heat beating the Celtics. So the Knicks, if they had Julius Randle, I think are a legitimate threat. The Bucks, if Giannis Antetokounmpo heals like Wolverine and is good to go a buck at the beginning of the playoff, then maybe the Milwaukee Bucks could threaten if they get a couple of enormous games out of Dame and out of Giannis. But I can't see a world that they do. I can't see a world that they do. I think over in the East, it's Boston's game. How about over in the West? The Nuggets are the one seed officially as of right now. They have a one-game lead on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Most of these teams, by the way, have a game left to play on the regular season. Some of them have two. Over on the Western side of things, the Nuggets right now hang on to the one seed. With the one seed, they're catching the lowest play-in team, which means they are going to get the lowest remaining seed out of the 7-seed Suns or 7-seed Pelicans, as the Pelicans have a one-game lead on Phoenix. New Orleans does have two games left to play. They have a game against the LA Lakers to close out the regular season. They have a game on the road at Golden State. That is tonight, back-to-back on the road for them. The Phoenix Suns have two games remaining at Sacramento. Sacramento, by the way, now locked into the play-in tournament. It's a seeding issue for them now. And then on the road at the Timberwolves. I do think, because the expectation is that Brandon Ingram will be back for the Pelicans for the final game of the year against the Lakers. They will use that as a tune-up game for B.I. to get him back in the swing of things before the playoffs. That's my understanding. If B.I. comes back and is able to contribute, I think the Pelicans are going, at worst, 1-0 in the next two. Can they beat the Warriors? I don't know. Depends on what the Warriors are. We watched the other day when they dropped 26 trays against the Lake Show, but then they were on the road at Portland. Portland stinks. And Golden State only put 100 on the board against them. They aren't home against the Pellies. I don't know which Dubs team shows up. If New Orleans goes 2-0, obviously they're going to hang on to the 6th seed. They will go in as a playoff team. Phoenix will be a play-in team. If New Orleans goes 1-1, obviously Phoenix has got to go 2-0. If New Orleans goes 0-2, Phoenix has just got to win one. Likelihood is the Pelicans are going in as the 6, the Suns as the 7. They would take on the 10 seed. I don't know if that means that they're going to get Golden State or LA. Those two teams have an identical record. They could also get the Sacramento Kings, because the Kings also have an identical record. The Kings remaining on the schedule have a homer against the Suns and a homer against the Blazers. They are going 1-0. The Golden State Warriors, as we just mentioned, have the Pelicans and then a homer against the Jazz. They're probably going 1-1. The Lakers have a game against the Pelicans to wrap up the season. They're on the road at Memphis. They're probably going 1-1. I think your Western Conference play-in is going to go Phoenix 7, Sacramento 8, Golden State 9, LA 10. We'll find out. That would put Sacramento at home against Golden State, the Lakers on the road at Phoenix. I don't think either one of those two bottom teams are going to get a dub there. If one does, it'll be Golden State over Sacramento, but I'm not willing to put money on that. Denver is one game up on Minnesota and Oklahoma City, who are both tied at the 2-seed now. The Clippers are locked in with 51 wins. At the 4-seed, the Mavs are locked into the playoff at 50 wins in the 5-seed. I have asked 3 different NBA folks over the last few days to give me a pick that's not Denver out of the West and not Boston out of the East. And this has been very interesting. All of them gave me different answers on both sides. I have had one analyst say they believe that with a healthy Brandon Ingram and a healthy and angry Zion Williamson, the Pelicans could be the shock team out of the West. I had one expert tell me that the Dallas Mavericks are the surprise team out of the West. And I've had one tell me that Oklahoma City I don't know if they're a surprise. They're the three seed, but maybe just because they are a young team trying to find its way, maybe they're a surprise. Over in the East, I asked for three surprise teams from those same three experts. I got one who said the Magic, which is the team that I picked a couple of days ago. I like this team. This team is very young. This team needs better guard play. I don't know that you can cover up questionable guard play, and I think that is a problem. But I also know this might be the single most hard-headed team in the NBA. This is one of those teams that are like a little chihuahua. You can kick them across the room, but you know they're coming right back. I had one say, the 76ers. Let's be very clear. The Philadelphia 76ers are not a surprise team, dudes. They're not a surprise team at all. With Joel Embiid back and healthy, that's a good basketball team. They're not a surprise, but they are the seventh seed. They also, by the way, for the record, if they go 2-0 down the stretch and Indiana drops one or drops two, Philly could still get into the playoff as the sixth seed. They are not locked in as a play-in team. Only Atlanta and Chicago are. Cleveland, Orlando, and Indiana are not locked in as playoff teams. Philly and Miami Heat are not locked in as play-in teams. Any two of those could jump up and replace any of the three in the top. So this is going to be dicey. It's going to be dicey. It's going to be fun. Last two games of the season are going to be good. I'm going to go Boston wins the East, and I hate going chalk on both sides. But tell me why I'm not picking the Denver Nuggets out of the West to do it again. They're the same team. Same team, same coach, same stars, same system, same success as last year. It's not like anybody saw them do what they did last year and figured out how to beat them. They are still doing it. I have made the point a couple of times. I don't think Denver is doing anything other this year than playing with their food. I think they're like a cat when they found a mouse. Lonzo got a cat to clear the Mises. Have you seen the cat catch a mouse and then just like bat it around on the floor while it ain't quite dead yet?
Yeah, she plays with them quite a bit. Yes.
That's the Denver Nuggets. That's the Denver Nuggets. They're the old outside cat that just likes to find that mouse, hurt it, not kill it, hurt it, and then just bat it around and screw with it before it dies. That's the Nuggets. I feel like the Nuggets are going to be like Tom Cruise in Top Gun Maverick right before he goes up the car, just going to hit that accelerator, hit 9 Gs, hang on, see what happens. It's a good team. It's a good team. I don't think, as much as Ant-Man has surprised me, I don't think the Nuggets, even with both of their guys healthy, with Cat coming back, I don't think they have it to beat the Nuggets. I love SGA and the Thunder, too young. I don't trust the Clippers. Luka can't go, I was going to say Luka can't go triple-double every night. Maybe he can. Kyrie's playing great basketball, by the way. Like, all of a sudden, Kyrie Irving's a guy I'm like, I got to watch Kyrie play tonight. That dude has found something. I wonder if he just fell out of the news. So he's like, well, all I got's left is basketball. My dumbass conspiracy theories don't make airwaves anymore.
Or maybe he discovered that Sage doesn't work and the world is round.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe he discovered the conspiracy theories ain't it. So all I got's ball and he's balling out now.
Someday he just started looking at his basketball really close and he held it up to the sky and realized that the sky also was round.
And I'm going to say, taking off the analyst hat, pulling Alonzo, putting on the fan cap here, a healthy Zion, a healthy B.I., C.J. McCollum leads the NBA in three-pointers, Herb Brooks is the best lateral defender in the game, Trey Murphy's giving you wing play, the Pelicans are a threat, boys. They're a threat. They're going to have to win some road series. But my boys are legit this year. Even Mario agrees with me on that one. Let's take a break, come back, wrap up this hour. The Rob Brown Show continues. I am Rob Brown. He's the great one. Lonzo, the Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That's it. You're just a certified hater. I'm placing the stamp on it.
No, here's the
stamp's
thing.
Stamp's going on it.
Tiger looks, he's sweaty already.
Stamps on it.
It ain't hot out yet.
Stamps on, certified, grade A, premium fresh hater. Sorry, I mean, even Jim's coming out for this one. That's a bad putt, though. Come on, Tiger. I'm going to need you to hold one of these out, pal. I'm going to need you to start dropping some birdie putts.
Look at how he's walking, dude. He's walking like I've been walking all week.
All right, in fairness, that bend over to pick up the ball did look like a
stiff. He's hurt.
Of course he is.
You know, all playing aside, he looks like he's in pain already. So that's not good.
I don't think he's ever not in pain. I don't think that's it. I don't think pain-free is an option for him anymore. Ludvig Åberg is one back and is now back to one under as he wraps up the first round. Kitayama's one under, hitting his second shot, which is going to leave him a long birdie putt. So he'll probably stay at one under unless he knocks down a miracle. Nobody's really putting well today. Real tough start to the day on the putting green.
Yeah, and the question is it them or is it the greens?
I got to imagine it's the greens. Jason Day knocks in a double bogey on the hole that Tiger is about to single bogey. So again, here's what I'm looking at. It's a struggle for Eldrick right now for sure, but he's playing the same game that younger guys are playing on this course right now. As long as he's in the game with guys like Jason Day, if he's going to go out there and Tiger's turning in plus ones while Jason Day's turning in plus twos, Tiger's fine. So, it's the second round today I'm worried about.
So money right now, does he make the cut?
Yeah, I still think he can make the cut. Jordan Spieth just missed a four-footer for par. He's going to go back to plus two now. Like, Tiger's out here playing the exact same holes. That's the hole that Tiger bogeyed. Jordan Spieth just bogeyed the same
Tiger
hole.
Tiger makes it if the leaders struggle the same way everyone else is. But because then the cut line moves back, right?
Sure.
Or
but again,
up or however
a lot of these guys. Now, Max Homa's stepping into a birdie putt that he will drop. So he's going to move to five under. He will take a step ahead as Tiger takes a step back. Again, I don't need Tiger to charge right now. He's inside the cut line right now. He's fine right now. But we also have to keep in mind, this is the end of the first round for him. This is not the beginning of round two for Eldrick. Right now, he is turning in scores that are equivalent. He's going to say that was a par putt on the par 3-16. That's going to keep him at even for right now. Even is fine. If he finishes this round even, honestly, even if he finishes it at plus one, he's probably okay because it's round one. If he'd have finished this round yesterday, we'd have been like, okay, he's in good shape. Now he comes out this morning. Again, it is not the morning that I'm concerned about. I'm watching Jason Day turn in plus twos. I'm watching Jordan Spieth turn in plus ones. Tiger has had a bogey on 14. And he has parred everything he's played since then. That's good enough. Par is going to keep you alive in this tournament for now. Now, there will have to be a charge at some point. There will have to be a birdie string coming along somewhere. But I just need him in the show on Saturday. Because I don't think that Sunday Tiger obviously doesn't have the mystique that it had back in the day. But I think he was so dominant as Redshirt Tiger for so very long that I can't imagine that a few of these guys don't see that red shirt on Sunday and have it impact them at least a little bit. Like, oh, crap, Grandpa's still here. Grandpa still got one in him.
All right, I get that you want that. I seriously doubt that the Tiger fear is there anymore.
I mean, again, a lot of these
maybe
guys...
Maybe in awe of playing with a celebrity, but you can't have that fear anymore.
Why not? You got to keep in mind, I think, that a lot of these cats he's on the tee box against, a lot of these guys grew up as golfers while he was in his prime. Guys like Max Homa. Max Homa was watching Tiger Woods dominate the world when he was learning how to golf. I'm not saying it does. I'm saying psychologically, for some of them, there might be a few that see that red shirt on Sunday, and it's like a bull. It's like, uh-oh, red. Here we go. This guy hung around. This guy was not expected to hang around, and now he's hung around. Look at that draw. God, I wish I could hit a golf ball like that. 48-year-old Tiger out here still, again, out-driving Max Homa again. Dead center of the fairway. It's incredible. On a long 17.
What's Max Homa's score? I thought you said he was like minus five?
Minus either four or five right now.
Yeah, I don't think he's afraid of the drive.
I don't think he is either. Again, my point isn't he's playing better golf than Max Homa right now. My point is for a dude who is supposed to be like mangled, beaten, bruised, bloody, and just old, the fact that he's out there out-driving guys quite literally half his age, does he not get credit for that at least?
I mean, good job. You're not win.
I think maybe this is a golfer thing. I think this is maybe a thing that clicks more with you if you golf.
I have golfed before. No, and I am a competitive person. I just don't think that there is any fear of Tiger at all. And I don't know if there's all. It's just like, hey, good job, old guy. Not bad. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. You've been on the course and watched some old fat dude do something that outdrive you before, right? And then you're just like, wow, way to go, buddy. Inside, you hate that guy. But you've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, listen. I think getting out driven by Ernest down at the Muni isn't exactly the same as getting outdriven by Eldrick on Augusta.
I don't know how it's any different. I mean, other than venue. It's just another old guy. You know, Ernest might have been winning that course's championship a bunch of times back in his day, but Ernest got a little long in the tooth. Ernest has enjoyed the food. Ernest needs that golf cart to get around.
Texas said, I'd rather not have Tiger on the weekend because he's all they would show. You wouldn't even see any other golfer.
See, that was my point earlier on. You should listen to hour one.
Nah.
And also the point of a few people who are on national radio that Rob was talking to.
Nah. I think you guys are dramatic. I think you guys are being a little dramatic.
So... out of all the people who have that you've talked to on the radio, would you say a majority of the people have said that Tiger needs to go home?
No.
Because the three yesterday and then me today, and then there's you. So I mean, there's that would be.
I'm not a majority. I mean, I am a majority. I'm using your math. I'm a majority.
In your head.
No, I don't think so. So there's two things. Number one, how those of us on the radio feel is irrelevant. All that matters is the numbers.
No, listen, how we feel is very important. Please listen every day to hear how we feel because we are a reflection of you. Some of us are.
Okay. To the TV executives, how we on the radio feel irrelevant.
There we go.
What matters is how you guys feel. And I'm going to go ahead and once again point out correctly, aptly, appropriately, you can all you want tell me, I don't care, I want to see. Guys, the numbers reflect, as they have historically, that putting Tiger Woods on a TV gets more eyeballs. It just, whether you're hate watching him or love watching him, putting Tiger Woods on the camera gets people to tune in and stay tuned in. It's just the reality. You know what else is reality? That Lonzo does a wonderful sports flash.
Kentucky asked a number of big names to replace John Calipari as their head basketball coach and got a number of no's. But yesterday, they finally named their new head coach in BYU's Mark Pope. Pope, a 1996 graduate of Kentucky, is set to sign a five-year deal after leading BYU to a 110-52 record and two NCAA tournament appearances in 5 years. Pittsburgh Penguins star, Sidney Crosby is writing his name all over the NHL's history books and did it again yesterday. Crosby became just the 14th player in league history to record 1,000 career assists. Hey, tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire, Cole Bryson and Diesel. Get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news, great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. Wire to Wire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.